Howdy, new buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, the 18th of March, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. As promised, it is Thursday, and we are back for another Thursday with Bob. Hi, Bob.
Kelly, thanks for having me.
Of course.
Like this Thursday thing.
I do, too. I think
it's almost like having a podcast without having to do any of the work.
That's true. Yeah, those are the best kind, when you can just show up and talk and then leave after. I like those best.
Me too.
So we're here to talk a little bit about what you can do if the lights go out. Like if you have a power outage or something happens, it's not great, to be caught unawares. I mean, nobody wants to really sit around and think about, like, what am I actually going to have to do if there's no power, if something happens. But sometimes it's good to have a little bit of prep ahead of time. So you've actually written a column about this for us.
Yeah, it's way better to think about this stuff before the power goes out, because some
Absolutely.
Of it requires forethought. I started the column. I'm gonna quote myself, because I just, having established that ERCOT, which is the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, is anything but reliable, I wrote a column with tips on protecting your expensive electronic devices when the power becomes unreliable. And what's interesting is the same tips and all of everything that's in the column and everything we're going to talk about is also useful if there's lightning
Yes.
anywhere near you. You know, because that either can knock out the power or cause a surge, either one of which can knock out your devices. So think of these as tips for either when the power goes out or when lightning is near.
Yeah.
And the safest thing you can do when this kind of thing is going on, you know, if you're in a thunderstorm and you're sitting in your office wondering what to do, the safest thing to do is unplug everything from the wall.
Yes.
You know, here's the thing. If it's plugged into the wall, no matter what is plugged in between, a UPS, a surge protector, whatever, there's still a chance that something is going to zap everything. Most UPSs will take any hit, but cheap surge protectors, they're one and done.
And, yes.
You know, if
that's
you're
why
not
they're
paying
cheap.
Attention, that's right. But they can be blown out and everything else along with them. So yeah. when there's really bad thunderstorms, and in Texas we get really bad thunderstorms sometimes. If I'm home and I'm not really doing anything that's important, I unplug everything. I grab my laptop and work on battery for a while.
Yeah.
There you go. So that's what you should do. If you have a battery laptop. You can use it on battery power all you want when the lights are out or the lightning is striking, as long as it's not plugged into anything.
Right.
So, you know, it's yeah. good to have a full charge. And one of the things I was going to mention later is batteries. I was thinking mostly for your phone, but these days, as you told me in pre-show,
yeah,
you can buy batteries that'll charge everything.
Yeah.
Because USB-C is kind of
yeah
cool that way.
If you have a USB-C laptop, if you have a USB-C, a MacBook Pro, MacBook Air, or a Chromebook, I think Chromebooks will do the same as well. I'm not sure about other devices. It depends on what you use to charge them. But if it's something that will accept power from USB-C, just look for the power throughput on the brick that you use to charge your laptop. And then you can find batteries that will have that kind of throughput. So smaller machines, like if you have a MacBook Air, I think those only need like a 60 watt charge. And for a MacBook Pro, I think it's 90.
80 or 90.
Yeah, I think it's 90. And then like if you have a 16 inch machine, it's going to be more than that. So you can find, like if you just go look up like laptop battery pack or laptop power bank, you can find a lot of good examples of, you know, it'll charge whatever. And if you're looking at someplace like Amazon where they have like customer questions, you'll see somebody says, does it charge my 11-inch MacBook Air? Does it charge my 13-inch MacBook Pro? Does it charge a 16-inch MacBook Pro? And people will be in there and say, yeah, I plugged it in. It worked great.
And if you order it from Amazon, you always have the ability to return it if it doesn't work properly, which
that
is
too.
You order it from Apple, too. But Apple only gives you, I think, 14 days. And
yeah.
Amazon, is like 30.
I think Amazon gives you 30-day return. Yeah. So you can always, yeah, you can always try it. And but it's also nice.
Read the comments first.
Yeah.
And see if somebody can
tell you. The yeah. Verify if it works and then try it out and see what you think. These will generally, you will want something with a certain amount of power. So it's going to be a little bigger and a little heavier. It may not be something you want to carry around in your bag with you. It may not necessarily be like an everyday carry kind of a battery, but if you need something,
one of those, you should have one of those too.
Yeah. If you have one of those, especially since a lot of mobility has been hindered in the last year, it's nice to take those out and dust them off and use them once in a while. Just make sure everything's got, you know, is still taken in charge and is still something you can use. You can also get cables with multiple ends on them. Like I have a 2-in-1 cable because my battery charges using micro USB. And then it's got a micro USB end, and then it's also got a lightning end, so I can use it to charge my phone or my headphones, depending. So you can, and then I only have to worry about one cord. I don't have to worry about losing two of them or making sure I have two of them with me all the time. I just need to have the one cable, and it's great. So that's one thing. That's another thing that they can be pretty useful. I do want to point out, you talked about before the show, you mentioned that your last power outage kind of did your UPS in, your uninterruptible power supply.
Yes. It wouldn't come back after the first or second power outage. It never came back on, and I couldn't get it to charge back up. And the Mac wasn't recognizing it anymore in the battery system preference pane, or it might be the energy saver if it were not a laptop, but it used to be there, and then it went away and it was dead. It's just a big old battery, and it was 15 years old. So I ordered a new one and hooked everything back up. But one thing I thought of is UPS is really good if you're not going to be home when lightning is going to be around.
Or if you have a mini or an iMac. Which are not things that work very well, aside from, you know, when you can't just unplug those and continue doing what you were doing. So
correctamundo. Yeah. So UPS, they've come down in price too, because I bought a really pretty big one. I think 1200 milliamp hour. No, 12,000. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's 98 minutes of powering the stuff that's there. Uh-huh. Not that I'll ever let it get that far.
Right. I usually need.
Reporting.
Yeah,
it's like, reporting it can. I tell it to shut down after 10 minutes. You know, all I want is for it to shut down in an orderly fashion.
Yeah, and that's really what a UPS is for, is just to give you the opportunity to turn everything off.
Exactly. It's not so you can work for an hour after the power goes out.
Right.
Although you could.
Yeah. But the other thing,
I'm not sure that's a great idea.
Usually not. The other thing to think about with these is two things. First of all, sometimes if your UPS didn't make it, or you know, it's not charged or anything like that, you can sometimes replace the battery in those. You don't always have to get a whole new unit.
I looked into it, but mine's too old.
Yeah, I had to get a whole new one last time. Last time mine tipped over on me, and but then most recently when I found out it wasn't working, I was able to just put a new battery in it. So I didn't even have to get the fun screwdrivers.
What brand is it?
I have APC is what the ones are at my house right now.
I bought CyberPower this time just because I haven't tested the CyberPower in a few years.
Yeah.
And I had an APC. So far I like it. It's got a nice little digital readout that I didn't have before that tells me how much power, you know, how long it'll run and things like that.
And
it's got lots of interesting like diagnostic and feedback that you can get from this little LCD panel on the front.
Yeah. And mostly what's important is that you have one. It doesn't really matter which one you get, but also like make sure that if you get one, make sure that it's got enough time on it for you to do what you need to do, and make sure that it's going to power everything that you need to plug into it. And those are usually some pretty basic calculations. So just make sure that you're buying enough UPS for what you need to do.
Buy a little more than you think you need.
Yeah. And
there's always one more thing you're going to want to plug into it.
Yeah. And the other thing to remember is you probably want the alarm to be loud and obnoxious, because if it happens in the middle of the night, this is going to be the thing that tells you that the power's out. And that's a very important thing to know particularly if it happens in the middle of the night. The other thing I will point out is that you may want to, if we're talking about prep and everything, like prep work and stuff for if something were to happen, you probably won't have internet. So even if you do unplug your laptop from the UPS and you still have power, you may not necessarily have internet. Whether
except
it's
for this. Oh, go ahead.
Well, like generally, like the one in your house probably doesn't have a UPS attached to it. Even if it does, it's possible that you know, upstream there may still be an internet issue, so that may not actually work if, you know, if what you still need is Wi-Fi. So if it seems like a thing that you may want to know, you'll have to take a look and see if you have hotspot capability with your device. Make sure that you've got that set up and working so that if you did need to connect and use your phone for data for a short period of time, that's a thing that's possible. So that's another thing you might want to consider. So you know, using tethering on your phone.
Personal hotspot on your phone saved us here because I wasn't as prepared as I should have been, and I hadn't downloaded a couple of podcasts I wanted to listen to. So when the lights went out and I wanted to listen to the podcast, I just opened up my personal hotspot and downloaded what I needed. And then, you know, I mean, I think probably the internet was down in my neighborhood since the power was out for like, you know, 2 miles around me.
Yeah.
Which means all of those little hoppers that where they power the stuff were dead.
Yeah. Those are.
So, yeah, I figured there was no internet except cellular, and cellular was just fine in a pinch. Also enabled me to, you know, tell people I was okay, because people were texting and texting, you know, are you okay?
Yeah.
So I was able to respond to all those. I was able to check my email. I was able to look on the internet and see what the weather conditions were going to be like tomorrow, which was useful, kind of.
It's good to know. Yeah, well, nothing you can do about it, but it's good to be aware.
Here where, you know, we're not used to snow, it's good to know that it's going to be snowing for 2 more days, you know. That basically helps you make your plans to not do anything for 2 days.
Exactly. And whatever sort of countermeasures that entails, you need that too. So
charge external batteries up.
Yeah.
When the power's on, you know?
Yeah. You're able to prioritize a little bit what needs to happen. So that works really well. There are also occasionally some apps that you might need depending on, you know, what sort of situation it is. We don't usually have ice as the problem here. It's usually fire where I live. So you may want to check out something like a good air quality app and see if there's something you know, that works that will help show you what's a good what, you know, what the air quality looks like or what the forecast is for air quality. If there's something where you have to worry about a lot of wildfire smoke or a lot of wildfire fallout where you are, then that's helpful. You also may want to look into air filtration, which is just sort of a general, like, In case this is a thing that you have to worry about, if you are in a place where you sort of have to worry about gearing up every summer for wildfire season, then now is the time to go buy a bunch of extra furnace filters and things like that. So that's always a thing that, you can check for. You can get those the battery packs we talked about before. You can also get those that will jumpstart your car. So they make those that, like, it's its own independent unit. You don't have to have jumper cables and a second automobile. This allows you to sort of self-containedly help yourself if you end up in a place where you need to jump. So you can jump start it. And additionally, this thing will also charge your phone. So that sometimes can come in handy. And there's a lot of weather apps out there. Remember that Apple bought Dark Sky. And so the weather that you get from the weather widget, like the regular macOS weather thing that we all kind of used to make fun of because it wasn't very good, is a lot better now. And you can use that with Dark Sky and it will give you some pretty good forecast. So if there's something happening, you can do that. You can get the Red Cross app, which can help you with sort of general prep work and some vague first aid. There's some things you can do with the Red Cross app that can come in handy depending on like what sort of situation you find yourself in. And there's other apps you can use for like listening to scanners in your area. Like if you don't have a scanner or you want to find out like what's going on, you know, kind of in your neighborhood, you can download a lot of free radio apps that will do things like that. You can also make sure that you have the emergency contact set up in your phone. You know, review all your stuff, dust off your batteries, and you know, make sure they charge and discharge properly. You may have one that you think will totally charge your phone, and you run your phone down and you plug your phone in, and maybe it's going to disappoint you. And it's better to do that now while everything's working fine, and you can just plug your phone into the wall and top it off if you need to. So, try out things like that. That would be most of my tips for the prep stuff. And oh, the one we talked about before the show was getting a weather band radio, and they make them that hand crank so that you don't have to worry about like if the batteries go bad in it, or you know, always having like weird sized batteries that only fit in the radio or whatever. And they do make those that have a hand crank. And not only have a hand crank.
I'm waiting for it.
Well, and so the hand crank will power up the radio, and usually they have a light in them, and some of them have the capability to charge your phone. So my pro tip, if you buy one of these hand crank radios, is to also throw some candy in there along with the radio. So you take the candy and you give it to the kids. And so you wind up the kids, and then you let the kids wind up the radio. Everyone wins. That was the part that Bob was enjoying earlier. So
I was waiting for that. I knew it was coming.
Yeah. So I actually found the weather band radio super useful when we had the power out here and had ice all over everything. It was really nice to have the weather band to let us know how long it was going to last. And I did pick up a scanner app to sort of find out what was going on, you know, because they did mention like snow plows coming through certain areas and where things had been graveled. You know, so we knew like where the sand trucks were and stuff, when and it made it a lot easier to try to get around once it was safe to get around, like to figure out like what kind of routes we could take and stuff. So
it's a sand truck.
It's a gravel truck. Like in some places they call it sand, but it's really the trucks that go around and put little tiny gravel all over the road so that people can drive.
We
around.
Don't have that here. We don't have that in Texas.
We only barely have that here. So yeah. In other places, they're very, very common. And so it's a very easy thing that people want to track. So I think this is some good prep stuff, particularly as we head into spring and spring cleaning. You know, we've been kind of talking about like updates and maintenance and different things like that. So these are definitely some things that can help. If you have other tips you want to share with us, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. And that's going to do it for us today. So, Bob, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me again.
I'm always glad to have you on the show. And that's going to do it for us. I'm Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.